Good evening. Today I would like to explore case one from the Blue Cliff Record, Bodhidharma's Vast Emptiness. Emperor Wu of Liang asked Bodhidharma, "What is the first principle of the holy teaching?" Bodhidharma said, "Vast emptiness, nothing holy." The emperor asked, "Who stands before me?" Bodhidharma answered, "I don't know." The emperor did not understand. Bodhidharma crossed the river and went on to the kingdom of Wei. Later, the emperor took up this matter with Duke Zi. Zi asked, "Your Majesty, do you know who that was?" The emperor said, "I don't know." That was the Bodhisattva Avalokiteshvara, conveying the mind seal of the Buddha. The emperor felt regret and wanted to send a messenger to urge Bodhidharma to return. Zi said, "There is no use sending a messenger, even if everyone in the country went after him. He would not return." So, this case explores the legendary Bodhidharma, to whom the transmission of Zen from India to China is attributed. Bodhidharma is, in some respects, a mythological figure. There may be some historical basis for his existence, but it is likely, according to historical analysis, that Bodhidharma, all those different stories attributed to the singular person of Bodhidharma, were likely different people. And the stories have been somewhat mythologized over time. Nonetheless, they have some basis in the movement of Zen from India to China and those initial transmitters of this Dharma. There may very well have even been a person named Bodhidharma who was among them, to whom one or perhaps a couple stories could be attributed. Some of my favorite Bodhidharma stories include this and one other. After leaving the emperor behind and moving and going to the kingdom of Wei, Bodhidharma set up his practice in a cave and stared at a wall for many, many years. Here, Bodhidharma is simply illustrating for us our practice, the great significance of Zazen in this tradition, going beyond words and letters, no longer caught up in the teachings of the sutras and the language that is used to convey the Dharma. Bodhidharma focused on the practice of sitting and looking deeply into the great matter, looking at the great barrier, if we will, the gateless barrier. How can one penetrate this gateless barrier? The practice is one of sitting still and paying attention. And of course, the answer is found in the practice itself. But we must experience this for ourselves. A Bodhidharma has shown us a path that we can take to penetrate the great barrier. At one point, his first student arrives. People have heard about this legendary figure, and he begs Bodhidharma to take him on as a student. And Bodhidharma is resistant, as all good stories go. And the student chops off his arm as a sign of his dedication. Of course, Bodhidharma is rather struck by this and says, "What is it that you're looking for?" And the student says, "Please help me. Help me calm my mind." Isn't that what we seek? Might that be the great barrier that we hope to penetrate? The suffering that our mind creates like a great barrier for us all that we wish to get past. And Bodhidharma says, "Show me your mind and I will calm it for you." This young man was actually quite sincere and willing to acknowledge his failures and says, "I've been looking, but I cannot find my mind." The great irony here is that this path of, quote, failure may be the path of liberation. Bodhidharma replies, "Then I have calmed your mind for you." Why worry about that which does not actually exist as a separate entity, as a fixed entity, as a thing? I really appreciate the student's sincerity of inquiry to come to that point of being unable to find his mind. I'm reminded of Descartes in his Meditations. He says, "I think, therefore I am. There's thinking, there must be a self doing the thinking." But when he perseveres on this question and asks, "But what am I?" he has to ask that question over and over through the meditation. And each time one can sense in the language a kind of dissatisfaction with the answer. "But what am I? I still don't quite understand what I am," he says. I just think that's such a beautiful admission. And such an opportunity there. Of course, Descartes goes on to offer some sort of a theory that probably wasn't ultimately satisfying. He says, "Well, I'm a thing that thinks." But a thing so ambiguous, really quite unsatisfying. And yet that is what we tend to do with our habit mind. Because there is thinking, we assume there is a thing that is doing the thinking. And here's the koan, the invitation to look again. What is this, quote, thing? Is there really a person behind the curtain pulling all the levers like in The Wizard of Oz? A homunculus living inside your brain? Some sort of unchanging self? If so, where is it? Find it. Show it to me. Emperor Wu is also searching. And so when he hears of this great practitioner of the way who has arrived on their shores, calls him to him and asks questions about the Dharma. Sometimes it is said that the first question is something like, "What merit is there in all of the generosity that I have shown to Buddhist temples and such in this country?" And Bodhidharma replies, "No merit at all. Just vast emptiness." We don't practice for some kind of gain that we can hold on to in the future. In fact, that kind of an orientation simply takes us away from what we are in this moment. A kind of orientation in which we can get lost, always living for the future. never realizing what we are. Here the question is translated, what is the first principle of the holy teaching? What is the highest principle? What is the most important point of this Dharma? And Bodhidharma replies, vast emptiness, nothing holy. The moment we create the category of holy, we create the category of unholy. But all dharmas are empty. In that sense, they share the same nature, which is no nature at all. Simply shape-shifting clouds in the sky. Everything arising, changing, disappearing from the perspective of time. Or we might simply say, becoming, endless becoming. No fixed point to which we can attach. There's nothing we can hold on to. Like falling and falling and falling with no ground. Bodhidharma probably wanted something that, excuse me, Emperor Wu probably wanted something that he could hold on to. He was probably hoping for some kind of insight that he could use, a technique, some sort of intellectual understanding that he could grasp, and that in that grasping be saved. But Bodhidharma offered him instead the path of disappointment. No particular technique, no particular understanding. Nothing that we can rely on that could be captured by the mind. Emperor Wu, perhaps dissatisfied, asks, "Who are you?" Maybe we might even hear that as, "Who do you think you are, mister?" I've been studying all these sutras that tell me all these different techniques and understandings, and you say, nothing holy. I've been dedicating all of my money and time to this, and you're saying, nothing holy, nothing special. Who do you think you are? Another way of hearing that question might be, I'm confused. I don't understand the source of this Dharma that you're sharing. Who are you? Maybe a kind of sincere wondering about the source of this seemingly impenetrable teaching. But either way, Bodhidharma answers the same way. I don't know. Such a beautiful answer. Again, show me your mind, and I will put it to rest for you. I can't find it. Who are you? I don't know. This is not the I don't know that is just a casual flippant. What's 4 billion divided by X plus 2 minus? I don't know. You know, it's not just a casual flip answer. This is somebody who has deeply investigated the matter, who has looked and looked and looked. Another way of translating this line is no knowing. It can't be known. There is a Dharma unfolding, the phenomena of your life, that can't be known. There's a line in another koan that goes, we can only know our consciousness till now. Up until now. Anything that we know is a kind of recollection. A conceptualization born out of the past. But there is something emerging in this very moment that cannot be predicted, that cannot be known with the mind can only be met with the entire heart, mind, and body. The body of the universe itself manifesting. Nothing that can be contained by these tiny little brains of ours. But the emperor did not understand. So Bodhidharma left. But the emperor couldn't quite just let it go. There was some part of him that was hooked by this conversation. And again, I have great appreciation for the emperor here, for his persistence, for his curiosity. And so he took up the matter with his teacher. Dukzi is the master who is his teacher. And his teacher said, "Your Majesty, do you know who that was?" And the emperor said, "I don't know." Now this, of course, is a different don't know. This is the more superficial, "I don't know who that was." But he is getting curious. And his teacher says, "That was the Bodhisattva Avalokiteshvara, conveying the mind seal of the Buddha." The mind seal of no knowing. The mind seal of there is something arising that cannot be known. And though we like to layer over the world with all of our conceptions, like a Google map over the road, when we remove that map, the road opens up before us. There's something beyond our conceptions. Now, this is not to say that conceptions aren't helpful and valuable and beautiful. Conceptions are it too. All of it the way. But this case is about releasing us from our reliance on conceptions like the sutras and our notions of the future. Will I get great merit in the future for doing this in the present? Tell me intellectually, translate for me the highest principle of the Dharma. And Bodhidharma responds by saying, "You can't separate it in that way. It's just vast emptiness, nothing holy. It's your life. It's you. Just as you are. Everything just as it is. The taste of your food. The sense of your feet pressing on the cushion, the air you breathe, the sound of the airplane floating in the sky. Whatever is it. Look nowhere else. Forget every idea that you have for this moment. Open beyond." The emperor felt regret and wanted to send a messenger to urge Bodhidharma to return, but he would not. So I actually think there's something beautiful in this. Do we meet each moment of our life as an expression of the deepest Dharma? If we do not, we might regret it. It doesn't even need to be Bodhidharma before us. It could simply be a moment when you are arising from bed and slipping your slippers onto your feet. This is vast emptiness, nothing holy. Or put differently, this is the world of form, everything holy. This is your life, and you are the Buddha, being offered the mind seal. Even our suffering is it, is the way. There is no mind to get rid of. No fixed entity to be found anywhere in the universe. Just vast emptiness. Just shape-shifting clouds. Just slippers slipping onto our feet. Just this breath, moment after moment, this thought arising, passing, vast emptiness, nothing holy. Each moment an opportunity to wake up. As we sit staring at the wall, there is no wall to get past. The wall is the path. And our practice is so simple. What is moment after moment? Just paying attention. Allowing life to emerge. Don't miss your life and look back in regret, wishing that you had appreciated it when it was there before you. Thank you.